Welcome to St Andrew's podcast for Sunday the 19th of April. I'm going to start with a prayer. Risen Christ, for whom no door is locked, no entrance barred, open the doors of our hearts that we may seek the good of others and walk the joyful road of sacrifice and peace to the praise of God the Father. Amen. Today we're going to hear the Gospel reading from John chapter 20, and we're going to begin to reflect on what it might mean to us today. It's a reading about the disciples being in lockdown, so we might find that we have more in common with it than we do normally. Let's just take a moment of quiet and then I'll read the reading to you. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you will speak to us through your word and through reflections on it. Lord, open our hearts and open our ears. In Jesus' name, amen. The reading is from the book of John. That's the fourth gospel in the New Testament, and it's in chapter 20, and it starts at verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're in an enforced lockdown at the moment, but the disciples had chosen to lock themselves in because they were afraid. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and that day, this refers to the day that the women found that Jesus' body was missing. The women encounter Jesus and then they run, if you remember, to tell the other disciples. And this gospel reading takes place on the evening of what we know as Easter Day, the Sunday. For the Jews, this is the first day of their week after their rest day on the Sabbath, Saturday. That's why the women couldn't go down to the tomb on the day after the crucifixion, because it was the day of rest. They had to wait until that Sunday morning to go down to the tomb. And the gospel tells us that the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. This is a voluntary lockdown. The disciples are afraid. They are meeting together, no doubt to discuss what has happened and to decide what to do. And John, he would normally tell us, say it was the 12, if it was just the core disciples. This is a gathering of the followers of Jesus, the community, the faith community, not just the leadership. And they are afraid. Because if they profess to be a follower of Jesus, they risk losing their community. We know from chapter 9 of John that anyone who professes Jesus as Messiah will be excluded from the synagogue. That's their community, their family, their life. They have got to be sure. Do they believe the women? Could it be possible that Jesus has risen from the dead? Does it make sense of some of the things that Jesus had taught them? Is this what he meant? Dare they believe? Does it make sense? It's a difficult choice when it might mean being ostracized from your family, when it might mean the risk of persecution or hatred. We are locked down in small family units, in couples or on our own. And on this night, the disciples have locked themselves in a room together. They hope that they can trust each other. And to make sure that no one stumbles in uninvited to betray them, they have locked the doors. You can imagine their unease, looking at each other with fear in their eyes, hoping that they can trust each other. I wonder if there was a hubbub of noise and conversation as they discussed and wondered out loud. But imagine how that noise died down when in verse 19, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Imagine that. Jesus appearing where you are now to say to you, "Peace be with you." I wonder what that peace would mean to you. Peace in a time of fear. Peace in a time of uncertainty. The impossible becomes possible, and Jesus appears in that locked room. He greets them in the customary way. They would be familiar with that phrase, "Peace be with you." I find it really interesting that as we learn more about the science of our world, that the impossible seems more possible. Take atoms, for example. Scientists are constantly searching for the building blocks of the universe, and atoms are not the smallest things. In fact, there are over 150 things smaller: bosons, hadrons, neutrinos, the Higgs boson. But the key thing about atoms is that the electrons, neutrons, and protons that make them up are in constant motion. And so atoms are actually 99.9% space. In fact, I've read that if you took all the space out of our universe, the remaining atoms would fit in the palm of your hand, the size of a sugar cube. Whatever you're sitting on at the moment is 99.9% space, because everything's moving. So if all the particles are moving and there is 99.9% space, then it does bring a whole new meaning to Jesus being able to walk through a wall and join his friends in a locked room, doesn't it? Perhaps it's not so impossible after all. Anyway, enough of the science lesson. To great astonishment, Jesus manages it. He appears in the locked room and he greets the disciples. Then to authenticate himself, we read in verse 20, after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. You can imagine their astonishment, the outpouring of relief. Jesus is back. Surely this changes everything. I wonder what that felt like, what their expectations were. Maybe they thought that everything would be okay because Jesus was back. Maybe they thought that with the power he had, he could make everything better, could put everything right. And then Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Jesus says again, "Peace be with you." Peace in a time of fear, peace in a time of uncertainty. Can you imagine that? Jesus appearing where you are now to say, "Peace be with you." I wonder what that peace would mean to you. Do you know the first time Jesus said those words, it could be a greeting, the way of saying hello. But this second time he says those words, "Peace be with you," it is unmistakably words of comfort. These are the words that we need to hear too in this time of lockdown. We have our own fears and concerns. fears about the virus, fears about food, fears about our estranged families, fears about our loved ones, fears for our key workers, fears about our jobs and livelihood, fears about the economy, fears for what the future might look like. Imagine Jesus appearing within your locked room, and I wonder what Jesus would say to you. But it's not just the words that Jesus says. He greets them with peace, and he says that they are sent by the Holy Spirit in the same way that he's been sent. But then he breathes on them the breath of the Holy Spirit. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Jesus breathes on them. To get a bit technical, this is the only time that this particular verb for to breathe is used in the New Testament. It's the same verb that's used in Genesis when God breathes life into Adam, the first human. And it also recalls the breath of life, if you remember in Ezekiel 37, chapter 9, when breath is breathed life into dry bones. Jesus breathes on the disciples. It's an act of creation. It's like a new second creation. Imagine Jesus in our midst, in your locked room, wishing you peace, commissioning you, and then breathing on you the breath of the Holy Spirit. Those who believe in Jesus receive new life as children of God, and the Holy Spirit is the breath that sustains that new life. I don't know if you're able to catch up with any of the Spring Harvest events on YouTube last week. There are a whole variety of teaching, worship and seminars, and one of the things I caught up on was Bishop Jill Duff. She used to be a curate and a priest in our diocese, and she talked about the gift of the Holy Spirit, how it changes you, how the Spirit can equip you to achieve things that you could not otherwise do. And there's a lovely example of Cadman. He's from about 600 AD. He's a man who's not very articulate and he can't speak. He was an illiterate herdsman and he kept the animals of the monastery when Hilda was the abbess. And one night there's a feast. And as usual, a harp is passed from one to another to take turns in singing. But Cadman is embarrassed. He can't sing. So he leaves early, returns home, and we hear that he falls asleep in the barn. But when he sleeps, he dreams that he sings a song of the first creation. And when he wakes, he still remembers the song and he can sing it. He tells his boss and his boss tells the abbess, and she discovers that Cadman can indeed sing. In fact, he can hear scripture and then he's able to sing it in his native tongue. He was considered remarkable. This man who previously had no voice, who was embarrassed because he couldn't make a contribution, can now communicate the word of God to people in a way that they understand. Only Cadman can do that. He had the local dialect, the local tongue, and God used him to interpret scripture, and he became part of the mission in that area. If we are open to the breath of the Holy Spirit, if we allow the peace of God, if we welcome Jesus, I wonder what difference can be made in our lives. Maybe like Cadman, we will find that we are capable of something we didn't think possible. A few weeks ago, I felt sick at the thought of doing Facebook Live and podcasts. I had no one here to show me how to do it, just some instructions down the phone, very helpfully given, but no one to help with the music or share the responsibility. Just me here on my own with a phone and a tripod. But by the grace of God, each one of us actually has been able to use technology in a new way to help us to connect with each other. And if we remember those disciples, they accepted that commission from Jesus as he breathed on them. As the Father sent Jesus, now they are sent. And it's because of them that we have the Gospels. It's because of them that generations of people have heard the good news. I wonder what commission God has for us. Do you know, it's okay to be suspicious. It's okay to have doubts. It's okay to not feel fully convinced. I'm going to read the rest of the reading before I finish. But Thomas, who was also called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of his nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe. It's okay to have doubts. It's okay to have times when you struggle to believe. Thomas only believed when he saw it for himself. But what we can do is pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. Allow that breath of the Holy Spirit to change you. Welcome Jesus into your space, into your locked room, and allow yourself to be changed by him. Peace be with you. Take a moment now to pray. Maybe put out your hands to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let Jesus give you peace. Let Jesus breathe the Holy Spirit onto you. Just some moments of quiet. Heavenly Father, thank you for that sense of peace, for that greeting of peace, that reassurance of peace. Lord, we welcome you. We ask you to breathe on us. Give us that gift of the Holy Spirit to empower us, to equip us, to enable us, and to give us peace. Amen. Let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Just going to say a prayer before we finish. Almighty Father, who in your great mercy gladdened the disciples with the sight of the risen Lord, give us such knowledge of his presence with us that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life and serve you continually in righteousness and truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.